We now switch to Kurt Ankerberg's opponent in the primary, Jessica Gomez, who is the founder and CEO of Rogue Valley Micro Devices, and she joins us by phone. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Great. Thanks for having me on.
It's your first run for public office. What is the concern that most motivates you?
You know, I think this area has so much opportunity. I love our community, and I really want to see us, you know, reach our full potential.
What would be some of the things that would help us realize that potential?
Well, we need to get people back to work. I think we have a low participation rate in our workforce right now. We've got companies here that are struggling to find people to employ. And we have about a 36% people that are not even participating. And that's a really important number to look at. And we need to encourage those folks to get into the workforce, get the training they need, so that we can move forward and be prosperous.
Let's talk about how you got into the Senate race. Were you, in fact, a registered Democrat until not very long ago?
Yes, I was. I changed parties last year.
Mm-hmm. Specifically to run for the Senate?
No, you know, I'm frustrated. I'm really frustrated with the overall direction that the Democratic Party has taken our state. I really feel like, you know, we have become a business unfriendly state, and that's a big problem. You know, we need to encourage people to move here and start companies. We need to encourage entrepreneurship. And the layer upon layer of labor law and threat of tax increases is a real problem.
So I'm going to guess you don't agree with the idea that Oregon corporations should be paying a bit more, given that the weight still falls on individual taxpayers in Oregon.
Yeah, I don't. I think, you know, the adjustments to our tax policy was meant to spur investment. And we really need companies to continue to invest in our communities.
Coming back to the point of party registration, how do you allay the fears of Republicans that you were so recently a Democrat and might act like a Democrat in the state legislature?
I get this question all the time. I think, you know, there is a real concern there. But I've been going around. I've been talking to a lot of people. I am truly a Republican. I think the part of the issue is, you know, I'm more of a social moderate, right? But when it comes to fiscal responsibility, it's really, really important. And we're spending our dollars in the wrong places.
So what are the right places? Where should we be spending our dollars in Oregon?
We really need to focus on reducing our administrative costs. We see this a lot in many areas, but workforce, even veteran services, what happens is you have trickle-down dollars that come through the federal government. They come through the state. There's large administrative costs of managing those dollars. And by the time they get down into the community, there's very little left to do the real work that we have. And that, you know, that costs, right? So we have a large administration layer that we need to sort of look at and reduce. Because if we can do that, we're really, our dollars are going further and really going to the right places.
So this is tightening up then a lot of what you refer to as trickle down. It's usually referred to, I think, as federal pass-through money. I mean, for social programs, things like that.
It is, yeah.
So let's talk about PERS, because this comes up every time we talk to anybody running for the Oregon legislature, and should. The unfunded liabilities, we pointed out, are somewhere between $20 and $25 billion at the moment, which makes it bigger than the Oregon two-year budget for general fund and lottery money. Mm-hmm. What do we do? I mean, we've heard a couple different suggestions from different candidates. What can be done to either reduce the PERS liability or do something other than that to make sure that it doesn't keep taking up so much of the money that otherwise would be going to current services and current employees?
Yeah. You know, PERS is such a big problem, and we tried to make some adjustments back in 2003, and many of them were considered unconstitutional. So that leaves us with a few options. So what can we actually do? I spent a lot of time working on this in heading into the 2017 session, And one of the concepts that I came up with was this idea of accelerated disbursement. So if you are a retiree receiving PERS, and there's 63% of that unfunded liability is going to retirees. So what can you do with that? So the idea would be to do a calculated lump sum disbursement and provide that as a voluntary option to people. If we have people that opt in to that program, now we know what our debt is, and we can take that and re-amortize it over a much longer period of time, giving some relief to our school districts and our municipalities. We've got new numbers now coming out. It looks like we're going to be heading somewhere in the high 20s, low 30s percentage of payroll. So if you are an employee, you make $100,000 a year, $30,000 of that is going to be paid into the PERS system to keep that system viable. It's unsustainable, and we have to do whatever we can to bring those numbers down so that we are not burdening our schools and our municipalities with these huge costs.
Jessica Gomez, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Republican candidate for Oregon Senate District 3, facing Kurt Ankerberg, who was here earlier. Jessica is the founder and CEO of Rogue Valley Micro Devices. Let's talk about affordable housing and what the state can do or is doing already in this area, and what more can be done to make sure that people can actually afford to live in the communities in the district.
Yeah, so affordable housing is I think what we're seeing right now is a symptom of not having enough inventory. So our communities, many of them are reaching the limit of our urban growth boundaries. I know Bend went through this process. Medford is going through this process now. Without options, it's really difficult to keep the price of land low, right? And when that happens, the price of everything goes up, and we can't afford to build housing, even if it's high-density housing, at a cost that makes sense for people low income, and even working people can't afford to buy those. So we need a little bit of wiggle room in those areas. There are some options that we looked at, and actually I was sat on the ad hoc committee for affordable housing for the city of Medford, and there we came up with an option to generate a small amount of dollars that we will leverage to bring in some federal dollars and help to build some incentives for construction companies and developers to look at what it would take to build some more affordable housing and keep that cost down for them.
When you talk about wiggle room, though, are you talking about wiggle room in land use rules that try to protect resource land?
A little bit of wiggle room in those areas. We need to look at different types of zoning, right? So we have a variety of different zoning within our city limits that if we made some adjustments to, that would allow for development of those areas. And we need to look at how to keep the cost down. One of the things that's challenging for the construction industry is that we don't have the number of people in those trades anymore. When we had the big recession in 2008, many of those folks went and built other careers, and so they're not in the construction trades anymore, which is really driving up the cost. So, we have one guy that does, tilt up, buildings right now. We have one guy that does, but that's in commercial. And for housing, it's the same. We really need to retrain and encourage people to get back into construction trades.
Let's talk about education, Jessica Gomez. The state is primarily responsible for the funding of education, has been since the property tax limitation measures passed in 1990, starting in 1990. What can the state do to make sure that students get a good education, that they make their test scores, that their school days or school years are long enough, all of that?
Mm-hmm. Reducing that PERS burden will help tremendously. We're also asking our schools to do a lot. We have children that are coming to school that are hungry, that aren't prepared to learn, that are experiencing trauma. And we need to give our teachers the proper tools to be able to handle those things. I've been doing a lot of studying on this concept of trauma-informed communities, and it's really the concept that we have, if we can find ways to better connect with kids and parents and adults that have experienced trauma and approach them in ways that they respond, we're much more likely to get a positive outcome, especially when it comes to education. And this affects health and lots of other things. And we have a lot of that in our community. We need to look at helping to break that generational poverty that we have here and provide more opportunity. Our teachers are burnt out. They need training. They need resources. We also need to keep kids engaged. So looking at CTE and STEM programs, looking at ways to provide more hands-on learning and applied learning is going to be fantastic. We don't do things at home anymore, and so kids aren't learning those practical skills anymore. And I think that is a way that we can re-engage folks.
Final question, and it has to be a quick one because we're almost out of time. Cap and trade will probably come up in this legislative session. Will you be for that or against it?
I think there are issues with cap and trade. We really need to look at saving water. We need to look at forest management. It's going to be a really important issue.
Jessica Gomez, Republican candidate for Oregon Senate District 3, the southern half of Jackson County. We heard from her opponent, Kurt Ankerberg, just before her. And the election is May 15th. The ballot should be arriving as soon as today. Thank you for joining us today, Jessica Gomez.
And thank you so much.
All right, take it easy.